You may know, if you've been around as long as I've been, that one of my favorite people in all of the Old Testament is Joseph. And we're going to look at Joseph this morning, and there are some lessons that we can learn from the story of Joseph. So let us, first of all, hear the word of God as we look to Genesis chapter 41, beginning to read at verse number 1. Now, I make no apology. This is a little bit longer reading than we normally have on a Sunday morning, but it gives us somewhat of a full picture of this segment of Joseph's life. So Genesis chapter 41, beginning to read at verse number 1, let us hear the word of God. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the river bank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up these 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted and then scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he had interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was hanged." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows and came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dreams, I also saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows, it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will soon do it. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We all know that Joseph was one of the 12 sons of Jacob. You remember there was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Later on, Jacob's name became known as Israel. And there were two reasons that his family seemed to be against Joseph. What were those two reasons? There may have been more, but there were certainly two. Number one was because he was the favorite of his father. And number two was because his dream seemed to put them in a lesser position, in an inferior position to him. And they didn't take to this very kindly at all. Regarding the first reason, because he was the favorite of his father, this is really a message for us as parents and as grandparents, as uncles and as aunts. We should not be favoring one child over another. Children are very sensitive and they're very, very perceptive. We need to treat each child for who they are. They are a gift from God to every family, and we ought to be upholding them and praying for them on a regular basis, and praying for parents who have an extra difficult job in this age than perhaps we had in our age. So we need to uphold them in prayer. Also, the sons of Jacob did not take their father's favoritism upon Joseph with any pleasure at all. Their jealousy was so great, actually it turned to such extreme hate, that they decided they were going to kill him. Well, praise be to God, they didn't follow through with that plan, but they did sell him to a caravan on his way to Egypt, and he ended up being a slave in Egypt. Mind you, there's much more to the story, and if you know the story of Joseph, you know how his brothers fooled their father into thinking that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. What a bunch of lies when we think about it. And there they were, the patriarchs of the 12 tribes of Israel, and yet they had much to learn about the God of glory and the God of grace. So here is Joseph, and Joseph became a slave in the house of the captain of the palace guard. Now, this was no mean position. This was a vitally important position in Pharaoh's court and in the land of Egypt. The Lord, through Joseph, brought a great deal of prosperity to Potiphar, who was the name of the captain of the palace guard. Potiphar fared well in all of this, and it was all because God was using Joseph to accomplish this. And just stop and think for a moment that maybe you are the only Christian in the place where you work, or the place where you are, or the place where God has taken you, in your apartment building, in your home, wherever it is. And God is using you. God will continue to use you. You may be that one light that's going to reach out and touch the life of someone else. So we must always keep in mind God's Holy Spirit dwelling within us and allow him to do his work out within the community or around the people or to the people with whom we come in contact. Now, you know the story of Joseph. He was a fine-looking young Jewish man in the house of Potiphar, the captain of the palace guard, and his wife, that is the Potiphar's wife, took an interest in Joseph, and she tried to coax him to go to bed with her. Now, Joseph, being a man of God, being obedient to God, absolutely refused. He knew this would be a sin against God and a sin in his life, and he ran away. Now, Potiphar's wife didn't like this. She didn't like being put in this position. So she made up a lie about Joseph, and Joseph ended up in prison, in a dungeon. This is where he ended up, all because of her lie. Actually, there are many lies that people have told that we find in Scripture. And I find today that there are lots of lies going around. For example, there is the lie of evolution. It is a lie. We didn't evolve out of some blob of some nature to where we are today. We were created by the living God. It is a lie that has gone into the hearts and minds of children and adults that they believe this Satan-driven lie. We are not here by evolution. There's also all kinds of lies, I think, going around about the pandemic. Is it a pandemic or is it not a pandemic? About whether we wear masks or don't wear masks. About whether or not the vaccine is good for us or not good for us. There are people who are pro-vaccine and people who are anti-vaccine. There are people who are pro-pandemic and anti-pandemic. There are people who think there's a great conspiracy theory going on, and then another group of people who think there is no conspiracy going on. I think, for example, of another lie that's permeated us in terms of abortion, that people will look at abortion and say, well, that's really not a baby within my womb. It's just a fetus. I can get rid of it. What a lie this is. We need to understand that abortion is nothing other than murder. That's what it is. And then there are certain lifestyles that people say is okay, is good. Our government says it's okay and it's good. It is a lie. We need to rely on the word of God. Here was Joseph. Joseph sent to prison for a number of years, all because of a lie. Now, while he was in prison, he met two fellow inmates. And those two inmates were there, and they each had dreams. And they shared their dreams with Joseph, and Joseph interpreted what the dreams meant. For one person, it was good news. For another person, it was bad news. The cupbearer to the Pharaoh, for him, it was good news. And Joseph asked the cupbearer, who was going to be reinstated and back into the life of Pharaoh, to remember him. Remember Joseph. Tell Pharaoh about me. I'm here in prison and I really ought not to be. So that's what the cupbearer said he was going to do, that he was going to remember Joseph to the Pharaoh. But then, as Scripture indicated, 2 full years went by before something triggered the mind of the cupbearer to tell the Pharaoh about Joseph. So this morning we're going to look at Joseph, 2 major portions of his lifestyle. One is Joseph, the forgotten servant, and secondly, Joseph, the famed statesman. Joseph, the forgotten servant. Can you possibly imagine what was going on in the mind of Joseph? Joseph left his loving family, not by his own will, but by the will of his brothers. He ended up being in Potiphar's home as a servant. And now he's ended up in prison, in a dungeon, in Pharaoh's prison and dungeon, not pleasant places. He was a favorite son. He was obedient to the Lord. His own family sold him into slavery. He did well in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar did well because Joseph was there. While in prison, his skills were noted by the warden, and Joseph was put in charge, under the warden, of course, of all that was going on in the prison. This man had a gift from God. Administration certainly was one of them. Joseph's life has its ups and downs, and through it all, he was faithful to the Lord. Surely there's a life lesson for you and me to learn from this. And indeed there is. We will all experience ups and downs in life. However, it is important, like Joseph, that we are faithful to the Lord. We continue to rely upon him. Now, Joseph, while in prison, relies upon God to have him interpret the dreams of 2 inmates. He does so. The interpretation comes to pass. The cupbearer is released and restored to his former position, but Joseph asked him to do something, and now in all of his glory of this cupbearer, he didn't do it. He forgot what he was to do. He did not remember Joseph's request. Isn't there another life lesson in this for us? And yes, it is. When we make a commitment, we are to stick to it. This is responsibility. Let me tell you, this world, employers, church congregations need people of responsibility. People who will do what they said they're going to do. People who will make promises and will fulfill their promises. People that can be relied upon. Whether we're teenagers or younger or older, it makes no difference. We need to learn to be responsible. We need to learn to rely upon the Lord. We need to learn what it means when we speak a word, that word we are to abide by it. We are not to do what Potiphar's wife did. We are not to lie. We are to tell the truth. In many ways, I am looking forward for many, many reasons to the millennial reign of Christ. Why? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And absolutely everything about Jesus is truth. Everything he says, everything he does, everything he commands is absolute truth. He knows what's going on in the heart of men. He knows what's going on in your heart and in my heart and in my mind and in yours. And this will all be true during the millennial age of Jesus as he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nothing will get by him. Everything will be operated by absolute truth. We are to be faithful to the Lord. Actually, when we think about it, the most responsible people in all the world ought to be Christians. Christians ought to be the most responsible wherever they are, the most truthful, the ones who are leading others, not being led by others. But in the timing of God, God provides Pharaoh with two deeply disturbing dreams. The mighty Pharaoh of Egypt has the dreams. He awakened after each dream. He knew that it was a dream. And then he brought all the Egypt's wise men, all the magicians, all the people who would supposedly know these things. He told them the dreams, and they did not understand what it meant. And then finally comes the moment of truth. The cupbearer remembered his time in prison, remembered the young Hebrew, Joseph, who interpreted his dream, and now he finally remembered that he was going to remember Joseph to the Pharaoh. 2 years it took him to remember, and it took the dream, God's given dream to Pharaoh, when Pharaoh told it to the others, that the cupbearer remembered. Now we move from Joseph, the forgotten servant, to Joseph, the famed statesman. In a matter of hours, Joseph is transported from the prison to the palace, from poverty to opulence, from receiving orders to giving them, from being disrespected to being highly respected. In verse number 9, the cupbearer remembered his shortcomings. In verses 10 to 13, the cupbearer tells Pharaoh all. In verse 14, the famed and mighty Pharaoh, remember, Pharaoh was probably the most powerful person in all the world, Pharaoh of Egypt at that time. The mighty Pharaoh sends for Joseph. Joseph is cleaned up, shaved up, dressed up, and presented to Pharaoh. When he does, Pharaoh tells Joseph what had happened. He told Joseph about his dreams and told Joseph that none of the Egyptian wise men, none of the Egyptian magicians could understand what the dream was all about. So Pharaoh says in verse 15 to Joseph, I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now here's another life lesson. The life lesson is summed up in a few words. Joseph said, I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Joseph wasn't taking glory. He was giving it to God. He said, I can't do this on my own, but God, who was working through Joseph, will do it. And there's a life lesson, another one, for you and for me. God has given you and me certain gifts and talents and abilities and experiences. And whatever they are, they can be used for all sorts of things. But primarily, in our own heart, in our own mind, we should be dedicating these gifts, these abilities, these talents, these skills, whatever they are, even our experiences, to serving the Lord. We need to look for opportunities to begin with in the community of believers as to where we can share what God has given us so that we can reach out and touch the hearts of others. God has given us these gifts, not for our own benefit. He's given us these gifts and abilities and talents and skills and experiences so that we may use them for the kingdom's sake. We have two major goals. It's to minister among the believers and to reach out in mission to those who know not Christ as Savior and Lord. God gives us these for his purpose. I have a great deal of sadness for people who used to come to our church and don't come to our church now, and they're not going to church anywhere. And I have a great sadness for them because I know they're gifted. I know they're talented. I know they should be using their skills. They're using them in other places. They ought to be using them in the service of God. So this is a message for all of us. Now, Joseph tells Pharaoh that although he had two dreams, they are one in the same. That is, they had the same meaning. Pharaoh was given two such dreams, and we find the answer as to why in verse 32. Joseph said, the reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. Now, in the life of Jesus, pardon me, in the King James Version, we would see Jesus saying, verily, verily, I say unto you. In more modern translations, we see the words, truly, truly, I say unto you. Now, just remember, when Jesus says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, he's putting a double emphasis on what he says. Not that everything else he says is unimportant. No, it is important. But this is especially important when Jesus says, truly, truly, I say unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you. There's a message. There's a formula. The formula goes all the way back to the two dreams that were given to Pharaoh. They meant one and the same. This is extra information for you and for me. So Pharaoh hears all this. And then, in my opinion, by the Spirit of the living God, although Pharaoh was a pagan, remember they worshipped at least 10 major gods and many others in the land of Egypt in those days. And here was Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, I believe, inspired by God, yet he was a pagan. Other pagans have been inspired by God. Pharaoh says, Joseph says to Pharaoh, now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may be not ruined by the famine. Now, here is where the Spirit of God moved Pharaoh. The plan seems good to Pharaoh and to all his disciples. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all of this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. This ends the revelation of Joseph to Pharaoh, but it then follows the elevation of Joseph by Pharaoh. Without campaigning, without any kind of election, Pharaoh, in great pomp and ceremony, anoints Joseph as his chief administrator, second only to Pharaoh himself. And by careful count, we discover that seven actions take place. Pharaoh takes the seven actions. What are they? Number one, Pharaoh placed his own signet ring on Joseph's finger. Number two, Joseph is dressed in beautiful clothing. Remember now, he's come from the dungeon, dressed up, cleaned up, shaved up, but now he gets beautiful clothing. Number three, Pharaoh hangs the royal golden chain around Joseph's neck. Number four, Pharaoh gives Joseph the second-in-command chariot. Number five, Pharaoh decreed that all should bow down to Joseph. Number six, Pharaoh gives Joseph an Egyptian name, which means the one who furnishes the substance of the land. And number seven, Pharaoh gives Joseph a wife. Joseph is now 30 years of age. He was probably 16 or 17 when he was sold into slavery. Can you imagine all that went on in the mind of Joseph? Remember this, it took God 13 long years to bring Joseph to his place of ultimate service for the Lord. And Joseph spent his time being obedient and faithful to the Lord, regardless of his circumstances. Another life lesson, of course. In whatever circumstance we find ourselves, we are to be obedient and faithful to the Lord. Who knows what the Lord has in mind around the next corner for your journey or for mine? We need to be obedient to the Lord. Continue to put our faith and our trust in Him. Continue to pray to Him. Pray to Him for little decisions and big decisions. Pray to Him for what He would have us to do today and tomorrow. One time, the famed Prime Minister of Great Britain, William Gladstone, who served his beloved country for four terms, was asked, "What is the measure of a great statesman?" To which Mr. Gladstone replied, "It is the man who knows the direction God is going for the next 50 years." Well, Joseph may not have known what God was going to do for the next 50 years, but he did know what God was going to do during the next 14 years. 7 years of great harvest, 7 years of famine. Joseph was the right man in the right position at the right time, all by God's appointment. Joseph was rewarded for his obedience and his faithfulness, even when the circumstances were far from the best. So this morning, what life lessons have we learned? We have learned that we are to remain faithful to the Lord throughout life. We have learned that we are to keep the commandments, keep our commitments, accept responsibility. Because we are Christian, we are to be the most responsible person in whatever situation we find ourselves. Number three, we are to use our gifts, talents, abilities, skills, experiences to give honor and glory to God. And we are to remember that regardless of our circumstances, we are to remain obedient and faithful to the Lord, even when things don't look so good. We are to remain faithful to the Lord. There's an amazing parallel between Joseph and Jesus. It would take another entire message to point out all the parallels, but here are a few. Both Joseph and Jesus were beloved by their father. Secondly, both received a Gentile bride. Pharaoh gave Joseph a wife, but she was not Jewish. And our Savior's bride will be made up mostly of Gentiles, made up mostly of non-Jews. Both Jesus and Joseph were rejected by their brethren, and both began their public ministry at 30 years of age. Frankly, this world requires more Josephs. This country requires more Josephs. This congregation requires more Josephs. The world requires people who will plan ahead. The world requires people who will put aside today for what may come tomorrow. The world requires people who will be obedient to the Lord. The world requires people who will put things of the Lord first. This world requires people who will be quick to give God the honor and glory and not take it themselves. And this world requires people who are thankful to Almighty God for his blessings and his mercy.